One of the thoughts I've been running through lately in my mind is about paying attention. And, you know, I think when you're a kid, you hear that all the time, right? Pay attention. Pay attention. Right? As a parent, you're saying that. Pay attention. You hear what I'm saying? Pay attention. And today we live in a world where there's lots, so many distractions. You see it all the time, right, on the road. People don't seem to be paying attention. That's obvious. Especially when you're swerving. And you get up beside and you see they got the cell phone on. But I don't know if you picked up on it tonight. Have you paid attention? Lord, and that's one of the great things I learned when I came to CAM, when I first got introduced, is I was taught through the services to try to pay attention. Now, they didn't say it like that, but when you're here and you were seeing the way the Lord was moving and things that were happening, you said, boy, I got to pay attention, you know. I don't want to miss out on, because this is pretty good. So I started to pay attention. And when you come into a service, you should expect that the Lord will speak to you. God wants us to have that expectation. And when you have that expectation, then you're more apt to pay attention. Kind of get to, pretty easy to understand, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
So, and I don't know if you noticed that the songs we've been singing have really been emphasizing about praising the Lord. Now that may seem like, well, they always talk about that, you know. But I was taken up with the one song we were singing there, "Oh, 4,000 tongues." But you know, there's only one tongue that's really important, and that's your tongue to praise the Lord. It wouldn't matter if all of us are doing it, but you're not. That wouldn't be that you are paying attention to what God's trying to do for you. And when we praise the Lord, and we sang other songs like to give God the glory. Now, in the Bible, I've learned that the word glory and the word tongue are synonymous with each other. They're both the same. And I heard that, and I learned that up here one time. I never forgot it. And I thank God for that, that the word glory and the word tongue are synonymous with one another. And you'll find that in Psalm 16 and also in Acts 2. And that's where Peter quotes Psalm 16. But there's a nice interchange there, and he modernizes it and gives you the real meaning. He says that in Psalm 16, it's that my glory rejoices. And then in Acts 2, it says, but my tongue rejoices. So we understand they're one and the same. But then the question came at that time, is your tongue your glory? Is your tongue your glory? And so when we're in a meeting like this and we're encouraged to praise the Lord and sing about the praise of the Lord, I want to pay attention. You know, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Because there's so much you have done for me. Now, I have to admit, I'm a person that hasn't paid very much attention a lot of times. I wasn't very good at times with, I think especially with my children at times. I can remember this one time where I was supposed to be watching my Matt, some of you might know, but probably not most of you, but he was a toddler. He was in a walker. Back in those days, you could have a walker with the wheels on them, and you could roll all over the place if you wanted to. Well, Mary had gone out shopping, and I was supposed to watching the three older ones and Matt, who's rolling around the walker. So I decided that I would help, and I'll clean up the kitchen a little bit. So I opened the basement door, got the broom out. You can tell where this is going, right? So I'm over across the room, and I'm cleaning up, and I wasn't paying attention to my son and the walker. So all of a sudden it hit me. I left the basement door open. And I look up, and there's Matt right at the edge. I mean, right at the edge. And you know, as a father, you always think you're going to be Superman and come flying and always protect your kids and always be there and like nothing's going to hurt them and all that stuff. I could not make it across that room, about 15 feet from where I was. I could not make it. And when he bent, he went right down the steps in a walker. Well, that's a really bad example of not paying attention, isn't it? But the Lord was so good. And I have a lot to give the glory to the Lord, because at that point I just said, Jesus! And that was just my heart's cry. It wasn't like, you know, Jesus do this or Jesus do that. It was just Jesus. That was what was in my heart. I just cried from the center of my heart, Jesus! And when I got to that cellar steps, he was already down it, still in the walker, and his face was, there was like a little rug at the bottom of the steps. Now, I'm talking about 12 steps. 12 steps. So if you went linear and then measured down, it was probably a good 15-foot drop going down. And he was still in the walker. So I picked him up, and he was crying, and his like I said, his face was on the rug part that was at the bottom of the steps, and it was like you would get a rug burn kind of look on his forehead. So I picked him up, and of course the three older ones, and when I say older, I think Rebecca was maybe 7 and Tim and Ben were 5, something like that. That's them. 6, and they're 4. So there's those 3. So they were all crying because I'm coming up the steps, and I said, "Whoa, we gotta pray for Matt. We gotta pray for Matt." And we they're all crying, and I'm crying. So we said, "Lord, please just help him." You know, I can't remember all the words. You just cry out to God. You know, thank God for that. And he stopped crying. And I was like, "Oh, is he all right? What's wrong?" You know, like, I didn't expect him to stop crying that quick. So I thought, "Boy, what do I do here?" So I'm thinking, I better get him checked out, you know. And and Mary still wasn't home yet. So I left the kids with the neighbor, and I took him over to the hospital, and there was nothing wrong with him. There was nothing wrong. I came back after she came home, and I was, you know, trying not to feel so bad for what happened, for not paying attention. And after a while, I took the walker, and I put a 5-pound bag of sugar in it. And I said, "I don't know how he went down those steps without coming out, because there was no strap. Just sat a minute, you know, they just have a seat. That's all they are." And so I put it in the thing, go, boom, 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 boom. What happened? Did he make him ride the steps? I don't know. I didn't get to see it. But I seen, you know, that was a thing for not paying attention. You know, I opened that door, got the broom out, thinking I was doing good. I was. But there was something more that was more important that I needed to pay attention to. And when the Lord speaks to us and is encouraging us to do something, like praise Him and give your glory to God, let your tongue, it's your tongue that matters, not the group's tongue, it's your tongue that matters. Because God, I know, has done something for every single one of us, hasn't He?
Thank you, Lord.
On, you know, small scale, big scale, in between scale, He's always done something for us. He always will do. And it's so important that we pay attention when we're exhorted to give glory to God, to let our tongue rejoice in the Lord and express that, because, you know, you don't know what can happen when you do that. You just don't know. And if you think of some of the stories in the Bible when people have praised the Lord, I mean, Jehoshaphat's probably the most famous one, right? We know the story. They were sent out. They were told to praise the Lord, right? As soon as they started praising the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. Just because they praised the Lord, they were outnumbered. And many times we're outnumbered in the distractions that we have in our life, the problems, the worries that come, you know, and they might be the form of illnesses or disappointments or discouragements, things like that. They're always around us, and they can distract you. But if we just take what the Lord is telling us, you know what? I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. And don't get distracted by other things, you know, because you might, well, you know, with Matt, it could have been a lot more dangerous, bigger deal for my distraction. But, you know, I think we miss out on things in our lives when we're just not listening. Lord, what is it that you're saying to me right now in this meeting? Because it just seems like it's the same old thing maybe all the time to you. And you say, wait a minute. Maybe the Lord's saying to me, you praise the Lord. You open your mouth. You speak. You let your tongue be the glory that it's supposed to be. So, you know, when you come in, expect that God may say something to you. And then go with it. Just go with it, you know. And don't let yourself be distracted, but pay attention. Lord, you have something for me. And sometimes we're tired and, you know, it gets long and you're thinking other things. But say, Lord, I want to do what you want. In this moment, all I have is this moment. I can praise the Lord in this moment. And so let's take advantage of that when we're encouraged to do that. And songs are trying to help us that way. Oh, for a thousand tongues. But it's your tongue that's the important one. It's your tongue that is the important one. So let's yield it to the Lord, huh?
Yes.
Let's yield it to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away each stain.
Let's sing it. It's number 50. Number 50. And while you're opening to that, I'm reminded when I lived here with the Gardeners, we would meet in the annex over there on Pilgrim's Rest. Brother Tom will remember this, I think. But we would be having our morning worship time, and Sister Caroline Gardner, the first director's wife, her picture's there if you want a reference to who she is, if you don't know. She would be playing the piano, and we would be worshiping, and then she would just hit the keyboards, like, boom, and she would turn around and go in her way, and she had a nice bun on top of her head. She'd turn around and say, there's dead wood in here. There's dead wood. We need to worship the Lord. And I know she meant me. You know, I assumed that. But quite an eye, quite, it woke me up. don't want to be dead wood, right? To worship the Lord. I will praise Him. We're going to sing this, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer and waiting on the Lord and praising Him. Pray out. We want to pray for the villagers, but we want to pray that the Lord will meet us. This is the verse I wanted to share with us tonight. Just listen to this carefully. It's from Galatians 6. Pay attention. Pay attention. Did somebody say that in the meeting tonight? Right? Yeah, we need to pay attention. This is, I often say, this is not the New York Times. This is the Word of God. And this says something so mighty. Just listen to this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. That should arrest us. You are always going to reap what you sow. So let's just stop for a moment and just ask, what have I been sowing? What have I been planting? What are you good at planting at? You know, my father always liked to have a garden, and he would make my brother and I, he would make us the weeders. And so he knew that sometimes we fussed that way, so he would be like, okay, well, what do you want to plant? So I had to think about it, because I hated every vegetable you could think of. So it was a tough choice, you know. So I said, well, how about cucumbers? Cucumbers, they're good. I don't like cucumbers, but I had to pick something. You know, it's all a matter of what you're sowing. Ask yourself, what have you sown? Maybe you come away with saying, well, you know, I'm really good at watching TV. I'm good at video games. You know, I'm really good at quoting some of Bruce Springsteen's lyrics. You know, because you've sowed them into your life, right? You've sowed that into your life. Well, I wonder what you're going to reap from that. And we have time here at camp to sow into the kingdom of God. And what a harvest that brings. Let me finish up the verse here. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So we're called tonight to spend some time sowing in the kingdom. And let's see what the Lord will do. So join me, let's stand again if you would, and let's sing number 50. And then let's go to our knees and call upon the Lord.
When I saw the cleansing fountain,
sinners slain.
washed away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart.
That you ever called us to sow into the kingdom of God. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that we can tonight believe and expect, Lord, to reap the good things that you have for us as well. Lord, we pray as we go to prayer, even as we intercede for the camp and for, Lord, for the needs here and call upon your name. We know, Lord, that you are going to pour your Spirit on us. You're going to meet us. You're going to quicken us. And so we expect that, Lord, and we take that. Help us to pay attention to you tonight, Lord. Help our thoughts not to drift off or, Lord, to just, just think of other things. Help us to set our mind on things above as we wait upon you. Lord, we know you're going to strengthen us and quicken us all by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's wait on the Lord and feel free to pray out and let's believe with one another. Let's expect the Holy Spirit to just quicken us as we do. So let's go to our knees and believe the Lord to work.